Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. This is Joe and Ange. We're back with another Mailbag Monday podcast.
Remember, everybody, that you can submit your questions by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram. Or you can email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com. Just type podcast question on the subject line.
So let's go ahead and jump in and look at some of the questions that we've gotten.
My wife and I do a pretty good job of sharing responsibilities, but I have to admit that I haven't been a very good disciplinarian. I struggle with being a hardliner, and my wife takes all the responsibility, and she's the bad guy. How can you help us?
Well, kids are always going to play one against the other. They know the softy in the bunch, whether it's the mom or the dad. If I ask dad, he's going to say no. If I ask mom, she's going to say yes. I'm going to mom every time. If dad's one says yes every time, I'm going to dad every time. I want what I want. Kids have flesh, and they want what they want when they want it. That's why the first word a kid learns is no, and me, and I, and my. So they're born with flesh, and flesh wants what it wants. So you got to get together privately and just sit down and come up with some basic rules for the house. Here's what we're going to agree to. We're not going to let them do this. They can do this. This is a really kind of a wide-open thing. People used to ask us all the time, what kind of rules do you have in your house? I said, well, we've got three. Outside those three rules, have a wonderful life. I'm going to be like Santa Claus stuck up sitting down in your chimney. I'm trying to say yes every time you ask a question, but there are just some things in our home we don't tolerate. We don't tolerate lying, fighting with your brothers and sisters. There's just certain things we didn't tolerate. So we wrote it on the board and put it on the poster board, put it on the mirror. Here's the three rules for the house. Don't violate these. Otherwise, have a good time. So my wife and I had to come up with an agreement. Here's what we will and will not tolerate. And so there were times where we would talk like, hey, what if they ask a question? We don't know the answer. So, well, I'm going to talk to your mom or I'm going to talk to your dad and I'll get right back with you. Let me call mom. Let me call dad or I'm going to have to tell you tomorrow. I can't tell you right now. So you had to come up with some sort of standard as to what you're going to do. Otherwise, they will play one against the other. Every kid does that.
Plus, I think when you, as a couple, make a decision to have a child, it's very unfair to put the majority of responsibility on one member.
Yes.
Now, granted, maybe the mother is more available, more, you know, as far as, you know, maybe the husband is, you know, working and not as much a part of their day-to-day activities in life, so she may have a more prominent role when it comes to discipline. But if you don't back her up or back him up, that is a dangerous crumbling to the very foundation, to me, of marriage.
Yes.
Because you have to stand united as one front. Otherwise, it becomes us against them, and that is far from what you want.
Yeah, so the hardliner thing is you're not being a hardliner. I'm just enforcing the rules of my house. You either have them or you don't have them. I tell people all the time that's why there are speed limit signs every 3 miles on the interstate. Did we forget it? No, the government's trying to remind us. That's why there are people that get paid that drive down the interstate with bubbles on the top of their car. What are they doing? Trying to make sure we obey the law. Even as adults, we pay people to make us obey the law that we already know. So it's all flesh, and I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And so it starts in childhood. Well, I'm trying to teach you to be obedient. If you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. That's going to come long life. There's going to be blessings. But you got to learn to be obedient. You don't want to. So you have to teach them to control that flesh. So what happens is, I've been there as a father. Well, sure, I don't care. I don't care. Sure, go ahead. I'm too busy to think about it. Ask your mother. I pulled on this one time. I said, go ask your mother. And I remember my wife came out on the porch. She yelled at me. She said, is there a problem, Joe? I said, what? She said, well, they want to know if they can go spend the night this weekend. I said, well, that's not my area. That's your area. I don't do their social life. I said, are you the man of the house, or do I need to buy you a pair of panties? And I thought, no, I'm the man of the house. So then make a decision. So I remember I had to call them down. What is it you want to do? Where do you want to go? Who's going to be there? When they're going to arrive? And so I had to get involved as a father and make the hard decisions I avoided. And I realized if I'm going to be a real man and a real father, hey, I love you enough, I will make good decisions for you. And we've always seen it even kids in public. You know, kids can do stuff. Hey, they get to run through the grocery store. You don't. My kids do not run through the grocery store. Hey, I want another ice cream. No, you already had one. I'm not buying you a second one. All parents are involved every day. You're having to make those decisions. Yes, no, yes, no. Not whether they like you or not, but whether it's right or not. No, we don't do that. You can do this, but we don't do that. And so every couple I've ever dealt with in our parenting seminars for years, everybody goes through this. One, kids will play one against the other, so you've got to get together. The bottom line is just like, I don't know the answer to that. I'll talk to your mom.
Well, and I think in if you look at what the ultimate goal is, your goal is to train them to become responsible adults.
Thank you.
And so, you know, it may be a little uncomfortable. I used to say, what is a greater act of love? Is it a spanking or a hug? Well, neither. They're both acts of love. One's just harder to give.
Yeah.
So, so in that, you know, I just think you have to look at what the ultimate goal is. You're going to try to make them a responsible, a kind, law-abiding adult.
Yeah, because if you've got enough reunions, family reunions, you meet enough people that have grown up, and you realize something, the parent that lets you get away with the most stuff is not the one you loved when you became an adult. You realize that parent that let me get away with everything, never confronted me, never corrected me, they didn't love me. They never loved me, because if you'd loved me, you'd have had me do what was right. You'd have taught me. You'd have trained me. Because you just let me get away with everything, you never really loved me. You almost have to become an adult to realize, oh, my goodness, the parent I didn't like was the one that loved me the most. You know, so I guess some good rules for the house.
Yeah. And be together, united.
Yes.
Okay, so the next question is, I think that spanking our child is necessary, but my wife doesn't. She always says that she grew up and never once got a spanking. I just don't think that putting a kid in timeout is going to do the job. On the other hand, our culture has changed a lot, and I'm not even sure if spanking is legal.
Great question. Everybody's going to deal with that. Everybody's got a child. We'll deal with that. First thing I would recommend, we've taught on our seminars, is know your state laws. What's allowed in your state? The Bible said you obey the laws of the land. So what does the law allow? And so what does your state allow? Can you spank? And I think most every state, last time I checked, does allow it. But yeah, what we got to go to is not the spanking, it's why you spanked. Mm. And so we go back to, do you have any rules for your house? We have rules in our country. We're a nation of laws, and we have the laws of the land. You know, we're having a big debate over Supreme Court people and justices and judges and senators and Congress. What do? They make laws for our land.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the rules for your house? You know, have laws, we have rules for our house. So your kids can't. They're not trying to guess every day. What can we do today? What can we get away with? Because they will push the envelope. So go back and have some rules for your house. We've always recommended have three basic rules. We have it in our house. Now, don't use ours. Get your own. But no talking back to mom or dad. No fighting your brothers and sisters. No telling a lie. Those are the three rules. I said, guys, have a wonderful life. Just don't violate these three rules, because I want you to live a long time. I don't want you to cut your life short. So we came up with the basic rules within the laws of the state. Here's what we tolerate. And in my state, spanking is allowed. And so my first spouse, she was never spanked. She was the youngest child. She never got spanked. And me, I was the oldest. I got spanked a lot. And I should have been spanked more than I was, because I pushed the envelope. And so you got to come together as a couple. And what are we going to do as far as parenting? What will we tolerate and not tolerate? And you've got to be in agreement, because the devil's always using somebody to try to divide you two and set you against one another. So come up with some rules for your house. What are you going to tolerate, not tolerate, and how will you handle it?
Yeah, and I think that when you realize that you are a reflection of God to your children,
yes,
you have to be very careful not to, you know, like go postal one time when they do something and then the next time wink at it and just let it pass, because you're showing an inconsistency that God doesn't show to us in our lives. And so I think, you know, the rules in my house were, you know, we had different rules. We had, I would address it if there was any kind of a rebellion, if you got in danger of your life. Like one time I looked out of my front window, my daughter was just running out into the street, and we lived on a corner of a busy street, and my son kept letting her out of the gate. And believe me, we addressed that quickly. And the other one was, I just did not want any cutting down in my house. I didn't like that at all. So those were the three items that I would stand very strong on.
What you're looking for as a parent, you're just looking for out-and-out rebellion. Kids do dumb stuff all the time. They spill their milk at the table. They break out the bay window with a baseball trying to get across the top of the house. We have no rules for that. Kids do dumb stuff. You can't tell a child what not to do fast enough. That's what parenting's about. But there's just certain standards. No, we will not tolerate this.
Yeah.
Because this is rebellion. This is something in your heart you're doing on purpose. And that's like the sin of witchcraft. And that'll cut your life short. And I want you to live a really long life. I want you to be here a long time. So we just had three basic rules, and we would enforce that and tell them, have a wonderful life, but don't violate these rules. If you do, I will give you a SWAT. It's legal in my state. And so we had a paddle that hung up in the back utility room, and kids knew where it was. And I never threatened. I tell parents, don't threaten. Yeah. I'm going to spank you. I'm going to count to 10. We didn't count to 10, and I didn't threaten. We had three rules. Outside that, have a wonderful life. But if you violate those, you're getting a spanking. There's going to be no discussion. Oh, I won't do it again. I promise. I wasn't thinking. I didn't know. If you violate the rule, it's going to cost you. Please don't do that. And people would ask us, because we've taught them parenting for 40 years. And I said, did you spank? I said, well, yeah. I said, but in 80 years of parenting, I mean, 80 plus years, having six kids from birth to 18 years of age, I gave five swats. Mm. And in 80 years of parenting, I gave five. Just spanked five times. It was, I tell them, listen, I'm going to be like Santa Claus stuck upside down in your chimney. I'm the greatest thing ever happened to you outside of God. I'm your parent. But I will not let you cut your life short by being in rebellion. And I have to confront that. So just have basic rules.
Yeah, I do remember one time, Nicole, my daughter, she was like three. And I had never counted. I didn't believe in it. But for some reason, one day, it just came out of me. I guess from when I was growing up. And I said, one, two. She goes, three, four, five, six.
Yeah. No, got an A on that one.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. That kind of took the sting out of everything real quick.
Yeah, we're trying to be loving, protecting parents. But if you violate this, you're going to have to get together with your spouse privately. What are the rules for your house? We have one kid or 12 kids in the house. So what are the rules for this house? These. And what are we going to do if they break it? Well, we're going to do this. We can talk. We'll confront. But eventually, if you push it, we may have to spank. And we're going to have to be in agreement on that. So sit down together privately, come up with the rules, and just stay consistent. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God did not go schizo this morning, hurling lightning bolts to the earth. God is the same, was a parent. We need to do the same thing. We need consistency and stability in our home. So stay the same, stay in agreement, and it'll go really, really good.
Good. Okay, so now, Joe, do you have an opinion on what age is okay for my kids to have their own phone?
Well, I do. It doesn't make it right. There's no scripture on it. I said, you know, in our state, you got to be, you're 16 before you can drive.
Okay.
So they're not going to let you have a car until you're 16. You're not old enough, mature enough. Probably not old enough, mature enough to have your own phone. And so we lived way out in the country, and when my kids started driving, they drove to school and they drove to college, and it's a long way out. I wanted them to have a cell phone. I want you to have a cell phone so you can emergency and get a hold of somebody, call somebody. I do not want you stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And so I told them how to use it and keep it charged, and we got the big thing where all eight of us had a cell phone. And I had one bill, and I got the biggest thing I could get. And so, but I told the kids when they went to bed at night, and all of our bedrooms are upstairs, even my college kids, I said, when you go to bed, your phone stays on the kitchen counter. You're not taking your phone to your bedroom.
That's good.
Because stupid happens somewhere around sundown. Mm-hmm. And I've had one of my kids got a big cell phone bill, and I thought, what in the world is this? This is not my bill. And I went to my company and said, oh, that's yours. No, that's crazy. Nobody talks that long on the cell phone. We use them for emergencies only. And so one of my younger kids had a cell phone, and they fell in love, and they had themselves a girlfriend. And all of a sudden, it's like, how long can you talk on a phone? And I realized it was them. So I had it printed out, which you can do, by the way. All texts and cell phone calls are permanent. They're on a computer somewhere. You can take your phone and bash it with a hammer, but it's still on the computer, what you said and what you text. So I had it printed out. Took a month to get it. So I had it there on the kitchen table when my child came home from school and said, hey, have a seat. Have some cookies and milk. I said, what are you going to do? I said, well, look at this stack. What is that, Dad? Well, that's all of your cell phone calls and texts for the last month. And I said, I read the first page, and that made me mad enough to want to do something. So I figured I don't need to read the rest of it. I'm mad enough as it is. So just to let you know, everything you text and said to this person, their father can get the same copy I just got. Everything you do on the cell phone is permanent record. Please don't text stuff on your cell phone. Keep it important. Yes. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, all else perceived from the evil one. Well, I'll tell you what I think. Click, 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 click. Don't tell them what you think. It's settle it 1-on-1. Matthew 18:19. If you got something you want to deal with somebody, go to them 1-on-1. But we never let them take those cell phones up to the bedroom because you're gonna, your brain leaks out and it's gonna be something really stupid. You're gonna text or say to somebody, and whatever you say or text is on a computer somewhere, and somebody can pull it up 10 years from now.
Yeah, and I was a single mother, so I gave my kids a cell phone a little bit earlier so I could keep track of where they were.
Yep.
Because there wasn't a parent at home all the time. Yep. But I did have rules, and one of the rules was that, and I'm sure there are people that will disagree with this, but that this is my phone, and I'm paying for it, and I can look at it at any time.
Yes.
And the other rule that I had was when we eat dinner, the phones go in a pile
yes.
in the middle of it. And when
That's
we go
good.
Out to eat, they go in the pile in the middle, and the first one that touches the phone, they pay the bill. That makes sure you can enjoy dessert and everything
oh,
else.
Yeah.
No one will go near it. So, but, you know, I just think you have to, that's something that, again, you as a couple have to
yes.
decide.
Come up with a standard of what you're going to do and just enforce it.
Yeah. All right. So recently, my wife and I heard you speak at our church, and you mentioned some rules that you have about your adult kids. For instance, you said that you've told your kids not to come by without calling first, and you said something about not letting your grandkids ever stay over. We've always loved your teachings and insights on the family, but we both think this sounds a little harsh.
Yes, we opened up a can of worms with that teaching, I guarantee you. I love my grandkids. I do. The Bible says that the children's children is the honor of all fathers. I love my grandkids. We kind of grew up different because when Denise and I first got married, before we had kids, we lived three states away before our first baby was born. So there were never any grandparents around. We never lived next to a grandparent. Somebody, they weren't dropping over. They didn't come to our house. We only saw them twice a year, holidays and family vacation. And so we loved our parents. I loved my in-laws, and kids stayed with them. And sometimes my wife and I would go somewhere, and we'd leave them for a week with them. And so I do love grandparents. But we had certain standards when people would always ask, what would come up, the negative that we didn't get a chance to go into. So many grandparents now telling us in our seminars, I'm raising my grandkids.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And I understand you have to do what you have to do. So everybody, there's some people that just go stupid on you. You don't see it coming. And so you got to, if you love your grandkids, you got to do something with them. You got to take care of them. And maybe you may have to adopt them. You have to raise them. Maybe legally adopt them. And we've had to recommend that one sometimes. But no, I love my grandkids, and they are welcome to come to my house anytime. They just don't live close by. But now that's changed. We now live close, and so they are welcome to come to my house, and they can come over and eat my food and play with all my stuff and get my money out of my billfold. So I'm a ho-ho-ho Santa Claus really good grandparent.
And they can spend the night anytime.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Without my permission, they can.
Yes, yes. So, I thought, to be honest, it sounded a little harsh, too. Joe. I love little kids.
Yes.
So to me, the more the merrier. So
yeah, we have a big family because we love children.
Yes, yes. But you have to reword that
yeah,
a little
we're
bit
have
clearer.
To make that a little more clear. We do love our children, not our children's children.
And so speaking of spanking, there's yours for the day.
Thank you, Mom.
Okay, so, and you've also told your kids, though, in relation to that, not to come by without calling first.
I still maintain that. I'm an adult, and I love my family. I love my kids. You call, I'll be ready. I'll have food on the table. You can eat my refrigerator empty. And I still tell my kids, and they're adult kids, if you have to, you can get my money on my billfold. If you need some cash, my adult kids know this. You can get my money on my billfold. I just want you to call before you show up my driveway. I may be sitting at my desk, and I may be there in just my underwear. I just relaxing because my kids have been gone for a long time. But if you knock on my door, I may have to take a few minutes to get there because I still have a life, and it's not just based on you. So all I ask for, just give me a 5-minute notice before you show up at the door. That's all I'm asking.
And it's respect both ways, because when my daughter got married, the temptation to just drop by
yes,
was
that's good,
very
Mom.
High.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
And I did not. I did not. But she had a friend that married about the same time. And her friend said, my husband and I are moving to a different state because my mother will stop by and just wash the dishes and stuff. And she wasn't allowing them to grow up. So as tempting as it was, I didn't. So it's respectful both ways.
Well, we're not even going to get into this right now, but I might as well mention it. My late wife would just sometimes show up at the kids' house because we all lived close, and she'd just show up and she would start washing dishes or vacuuming a floor or doing some laundry and stacks. And what the kids interpreted was, you don't think I'm a good adult. You think I keep a nasty house. I wash stuff. We're just busy right now. And so my late wife would just show up like the nanny and start doing stuff because she loved the kids. And we had to have a conversation. Honey, I think it really upsets them when you do that. So call before you go and then say, hey, would you like me to do something? And they'll tell you, no, Mom, I don't need you to do that. And just smile a lot and play with the grandkids.
There you go. There you go. And have them spend the night.
Yes. Have them spend the night. Yes.
Okay. I have always tithed, but my husband doesn't believe it's scriptural. We've argued and I've told him, let's just be honest. It's not because you don't believe it's in the Bible. You just don't want to do it. I know that is the real reason. So how do we resolve this?
Well, you almost have to get a lawyer and an accountant in on this right here, because if there are two, I'll just start off the top. Most couples are two income couples today.
Mm-hmm.
They are. And my money's my spouse's money. My spouse's money's my money. It's one thing. All of a sudden, we get into the tithing thing. So I've told couples when they've asked, well, if you're earning that money and you think that blessing is tied to the tithe, that is, you can tell your spouse, honey, I'm going to tithe from my check, not yours. Mm. I'm using my faith. It's not the money in the bucket. It's the faith behind the money in the bucket anyhow. And that's the whole teaching on tithing we do. But I tell couples, listen, if your spouse wants to tithe and you don't, that's between you and God. You still go to heaven. You know, you may go broke, but you can still go to heaven. But if you got your own income, you can tithe off yours, but not your spouse's. You cannot make your spouse do something that they don't believe in. And that's wrong. God doesn't even do that.
Mm-hmm.
Even God doesn't pay people to do stuff they don't believe in. Every time Jesus ministered, he said, you know, I'm going to step away life, death, blessing, cursing. You get to choose. Mm-hmm. You choose. So don't berate your spouse. Don't get on to them. That's something God will have to deal with them about. Now, if they ask you a question, try to answer it, but don't get upset.
Yeah, when I was in my 20s, I knew a young couple, and this was a huge issue for them. And she felt extremely strong about it, and he was, for lack of a better word, cheap, you know? And so it got to the point, and it became such a bone of contention with them that, you know, they were just arguing about it all the time. And so finally she did exactly what you said, but she was a housewife, and she didn't have her own income. So she would, if she got anything, you know, like if she sold something, she would tithe on it. If she, if somebody gave her a gift, she'd tithe her time. She would do
yes.
at the church.
Yes,
she'd
not
do,
just money. That's good.
And so she would, you know, volunteer a lot. So however she could, you know, and God did bless her. And so finally he very reluctantly started to give in, and you know, God just totally really blessed their business and everything. So over time he's learned to trust God and her more. So,
God loves to show off,
yes.
But you just when in a married couple, you just cannot force your spouse to do what they don't believe is right. So you got to do what you can do and just believe God for the rest.
All you can do is work on you.
Yes. Well, that wraps up this week's podcast. Remember to get those questions in by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or just sending your question to mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
Hey, thanks to everybody for your great questions. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here.
We love you guys. God bless. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.